If it wasn't for kingship, you wouldn't have the word majesty. And you would not know what majesty is. And you would not know what the majesty of God is. And Baha'u'llah says, we do not want people to be deprived of this. But this will be a democratic, or what, not democratic, constitutional kingship. Something which is very different from the kings which existed at the time of Baha'u'llah. Constitutional kingship. Who knows? I have again heard this. I don't like to repeat Pilgrim's Notes. But we have heard that Shoghi Effendi has said every country in the world will have a king, including the United States of America. So watch for yourselves here. Now, this king, the institution of kingship, whatever happens, will become part of the, eventually, part of the world order of Baha'u'llah, because you cannot have anything in the future but the world order of Baha'u'llah, which will have a system, which will be a system by which the whole world will combine all its resources and its institutions together, and how they will merge, we do not know. So now, the second sign, as I said, that Baha'u'llah gives for the coming of the coming of age of humanity is that the institution of kingship will be discredited so much that people do not want to take the burden on. This has happened. And the third sign, which is also has happened and has taken place already, on a smaller scale, but anyhow it has taken place, is that the alchemy, he says, will become an achieved alchemy will be achieved. That is the transmutation of copper into gold, of any metal, the transmutation, the changing of elements. Well, now this has already taken place in the atomic laboratories, and you can do this through the process of processes of the atomic physics. But it is so expensive that if you change them, it's going to be very expensive. I read some time ago in the newspapers, years ago, that they that one of the nations, Russians, have said that they can produce gold, or they will produce gold, which would be cheaper than what is in the market. Now, again, this is an indication, this alchemy. By the way, when alchemy has been one of those things that all the early men of knowledge and science of those days, from the time, early days of Islam, they have been working on it. Many people, actually the word alchemy, the word chemist is an Arabic word, alchemy, kimia, it's from kimia, which is an Arabic word. And but during Baha'u'llah's lifetime also, many of his disciples, many of his disciples during his lifetime were involving themselves in this act of producing, of testing and experimenting. And Baha'u'llah stopped them. He said, this is not the time for it. He told them to stop this. And he said, when the time comes, it will be discovered. And he said, when it will be discovered, we have a tablet of Baha'u'llah which is very striking. He says, when it is discovered, mankind will discover a force which can destroy the whole world. And he prays that God will not, and this is, as I said, associated with the discovery of the atomic energy. So now, you see, these are the signs of the coming of age of humanity. And in this pilgrim's note, we heard Shoghi Effendi said that the lesser peace and the coming of age of humanity is the same thing, which, from the signs that I mentioned to you, it's very likely. Now, all the other things that he has spoken about, it is very beautiful, and you can find it in the writings. He says you can divide, he says you can, in order to study the progress of the world in the future, you can first divorce the faith from it, and let us examine the non-Baha'i world after the lesser peace to see what processes and what stages it will go through, the non-Baha'i world. First of all the social teachings of Baha'u'llah. Now, forget about the Baha'i faith and the influence of the Baha'i faith. Forget about that. But look at the non-Baha'i world. Let us have the branch of humanity, which is non-Baha'i branch. The non-Baha'i branch will go through so many stages of development and progress, using all the social teachings of Baha'u'llah, such as equality of men and women, establishment of a universal language, establishment of a world government, the making of one weight currency and measures, the federation of nations. All of these things will take place, the social teachings of Baha'u'llah. Education for all, the tapping of the resources of the world equitably. And these things will happen without necessarily knowing that these are from Baha'u'llah. But these are the social teachings which will be carried out. And as a result of it, he says, a great blessing will come upon mankind. The wars are abolished. And the blessing which he'll bring with it is that of social and economic and scientific developments that mankind will make, in such a way that the planet will become like one country, literally, like a federation of nations. Like here, the United States, you have federations of nations, of states, but really they are one country. And this will become the world, and that we become so used to mixing together and rubbing shoulders with all kinds of peoples of all nationalities and peoples, that it's just like being living in one country from the point of view of social and economic and other developments. Now then he says that looking in this branch of humanity, which is now devoid of the faith, and the faith has nothing to do with it at the moment, directly, he says that religions lose their influence more and more. And they cannot influence humanity. The soul of people will be starving for spiritual food. Although they are progressing socially, economically, politically, but spiritually, they will be in starvation, a spiritual starvation. And therefore, there would be a great deal of delinquency, maybe. People have plenty of things to plenty pleasures and plenty of food, plenty of comfort, security, and this will bring about, and the starvation of spiritual food, it's a terrible effect on the soul of man. The soul of man will be in a very depressed position in this particular branch of humanity. And then he says, now let us look at the faith and what the faith does, the other branch. The other branch will go through stages. These are all written down by Shoghi Effendi now. You know, these things that I'm saying, it's not really Pilgrim's Notes. As I said, these are all can be verified in the writings. He says, the faith will go through different stages. The first is the stage of obscurity. And we are in obscurity in some parts of the world. But in some countries, of course, we are not in obscurity. It doesn't come together at the same time all over the world. One country, for instance, Persia, came out of obscurity in the first year of the coming of the Bab. The faith is not in obscurity. Everyone knows what the faith is. They all know it's part of their language, it's part of their vocabulary. And then after that stage of obscurity, it will become emancipated and from the religious orthodoxy. And then it will become known as a world religion. It will emerge as a world religion. And then it will grow through these stages, which we don't want to go into all in details, but eventually it comes to a point where in a country, the majority of the people in a country become Baha'i. And that is the stage of sovereignty for the faith. And this lady, who was the pilgrim, asks, what is majority? And Shoghi Effendi said, 51%. When majority of the people of a country become Baha'i, then the Baha'i government comes into being in that country. And the laws of Baha'u'llah can function. The laws of the Kitab-e-Aqdas then can function. And Shoghi Effendi had said in this particular note that it is expected of the minority then to obey the government of the majority in the same way that we now obey the governments we live in under. But of course the Baha'i government will honor the religious aspirations of the people and will give them every freedom to exercise their religious laws and teachings. And then if you go further in this particular branch of the Baha'i branch, you will find that more governments will become Baha'i governments, one after the other. I mentioned yesterday that really and truly you people should aim at making this country the first Baha'i government. And really we must not think at it in an unbelieving way, but rather believing that they will come, that we will have Baha'i governments. Now then you will have the second Baha'i government and the third Baha'i government and so on and so forth. But then you see humanity is one. You can't divide it into two branches. You know, although we said for the sake of studying we are having one branch we call it non-Baha'i and one branch we call it Baha'i, but humanity is one. And so more and more of these two processes will merge together as time goes on, merging together. People become Baha'i, Baha'i states come into being, until such time that the majority of the nations in the world become Baha'i. It is then that these two processes that we have been analyzing in this way, these two processes completely merge together and meet together at the top. And he says, as a result of this merging together, a child will be born, and that is the child of Baha'i civilization. And he says that is synonymous with the establishment of the Most Great Peace, and it is synonymous with the birth of the world order of Baha'u'llah. And it is synonymous with the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And mankind will celebrate that day in the name of Baha'u'llah, the Father, who has brought this kingdom. And then that child of Baha'i civilization, which is born, takes ages and centuries and thousands and thousands of years, 500,000 years, for the manifestations of God to come and enable that child of Baha'i civilization to grow into perfection, just like a child grows into an adult. And how the emphasis will be on nobility of man, that man will become noble. Now this is the vision of the future for us Baha'is. Now we are in the darkest period of the history of man, the darkest period, and it's closing in on us day by day and coming to the point of completely sundering everything which belongs to the old days, the old order. We talked about it yesterday, how much we Baha'is should be confident, absolutely confident, that we are going to be here to bring the message of Baha'u'llah to masses of peoples after the destruction of the world and all that is therein. This is our function. This is why he has created us. We are created for this purpose. The world, the peoples of the world do not know. We cannot now ever doubt the power of Baha'u'llah which is invested in his institutions, the power which he has got in it. Just as much as yesterday we were talking about the new life which comes out of the egg, the chicken coming out of the egg is the only thing which rests, which has got the power to stand on its own feet and to become the living organ of a new world. We must have faith in this. And we must prepare ourselves for the day that we are going to be there to bring great numbers into the faith. As Shoghi Effendi says, these institutions we are building becomes beacons of light to guide humanity at the time of its greatest peril. We are not worried about ourselves as to try to, we must never think of ourselves, oh, I want to protect myself. Well, you're all right, you will be protected. I can assure you will be protected. Well, if you want to take any actions, do, nobody will stop you. But you know, a time will come that we will be guided when the guidance is needed. We will be guided as what to do. We will be guided by the House of Justice. And if they are not in contact with us because communications will be cut off, time will come that we will not be able to communicate with them. Our institutions today, which are very weak, and we were talking about them yesterday, these very weak and insignificant institutions, which we think they are insignificant outwardly, these institutions will be so inspired, our national assemblies will be so inspired as to tell the friends what to do, where to go to protect themselves. It will come. This is already happening in some countries where there is a great deal of wars and dangers facing people. These institutions will be guided by Baha'u'llah because there is the spirit of life in them. The spirit of the cause is within them. It's pulsating within them. Although they may be weak, yesterday you remember we talked of the ministry of Baha'u'llah during the years that he lived in that mansion. Almost half of his ministry in Akka was spent in this building. It's really the climax of his revelation when God really ascended upon his throne. This is a throne in some of his writings referred to. It's the throne of the there is this building, the throne of God. And in the traditions, it's very clear that when God sits on his throne, all the messengers and the concourse on high circumambulated. You can see in the writings too. Well, these two people wanted to circumambulate now this throne of their Lord. And when they went close to near the mansion, near the walls of the mansion, they found that four sides of the mansion is packed with people. Now, they were not imagining things. They were not psychic people. They were very clear-headed. And they, of course, knew there's nobody from Akka. There's not one soul has left Akka at the time. There's nobody. There was none of these people. Four sides. And they were filled with such awe. You can imagine the awe of that particular occasion must have been tremendous. That they couldn't go close. And they realized that to them this is really what their outer eyes could see. It was nothing but the souls of the manifestations of God and the concourse on high circumambulating the throne of their Lord. And so they went back, and then they circumambulated from long distance away in great awe and wonder, you know, of having seen this. And he says that our shoes were filled with mud, and the whole area was wet, and all the mud that they went through. And then they quickly left for Akka. And they arrived just in time that they were closing the doors, the gates of the city. but they managed to get in. Now there is a custom amongst the